You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Before we get to our guest today, if you like our podcast, there is a way you can help us out and contribute. Corey?
You can go to CannabisHealthRadio.com, go to the donate page, and lend us your assistance.
Lend us a hand.
Please and thank you.
Thank you. Our guest today was diagnosed with Crohn's disease at the age of 9, osteoporosis around the age of 18, and fibromyalgia around the age of 21. And joining us from Manchester in the UK to tell his story is Tony Potts. Tony, are you still in Manchester?
Yep, I am.
Okay, great. Now, you've been dealing with a lot of serious health issues in your life, but you're now doing all the right things to heal yourself. Take us back to when you were 9 years of age, and tell us about your diagnosis of Crohn's disease.
Well, it all started one day when I went to the toilet. Nothing seemed unusual. And then obviously while I was on the toilet, when I got off, I noticed there was a lot of blood in the toilet. And then I wasn't in any pain. I was a 9-year-old child. I didn't really know what to do. So I flushed the toilet and ignored it and thought, well, it won't happen again. It was just one time. And then it happened again and again. And eventually the toilet paper didn't flush and my mum see the blood on it. So I was taken to a doctor who wrote a letter and sent it straight to the local children's hospital, to the A&E department. There, I was seen by a doctor who admitted me to a ward straight away for observations and tests, and I was diagnosed quite quickly with that. And then, obviously, I was made aware from the start that I had a condition that could not be cured, and there wasn't much they could do for me. They'd have to do quite a few tests to try and figure out what was going on, and then it all just started from there, really, the testing and everything. And then I was eventually diagnosed. I can't remember how quickly it was, but it was rather quick. I mean, I've heard of people not being diagnosed for years, whereas I got quite a quick diagnosis with Crohn's disease. Well, actually, at first, they thought it was ulcerative colitis, but then it was actually changed to Crohn's disease when they realised it was, like, it was affecting my whole digestive system and not just my large intestine.
Tony, were you in any pain at all? I think you indicated that you weren't in any pain.
No, I wasn't in any pain when I was going to the toilet and bleeding. I didn't have any stomach pain. To be fair, the first lot of pain I actually felt was from the different examinations and tests they actually did on me.
So at the age of 9, you were diagnosed with Crohn's. How did it affect your childhood?
Obviously, I missed quite a bit of school. I couldn't do some of the things that I used to do and that I enjoyed doing, because obviously I had to be near to a toilet, because I'd have to rush off to the toilet quite often. So obviously it changed what I could do as a child and how I had to look at situations. If I was going somewhere I didn't know, I had to figure out where the toilet was in case I needed it in an emergency.
Yeah,
obviously, it's like you go from being a healthy child to someone who's dealing with these conditions and having to remember to take all this medication every day. So it sort of like forces you to grow up quickly, really.
Yeah. Did the medication help you at all?
It did in some ways, but I did suffer, like, side effects with a lot of the medication.
What kind of side effects?
The main one being, obviously, the ones being that have shown up later on in life that weren't obvious when was taking the medication, like the osteoporosis was a side effect of the steroid use. Mm-hmm. So although I didn't realise at the time, it obviously was affecting the density of my bones.
That's a shame.
Oh, so the steroids you were taking actually gave you osteoporosis?
Yeah, that's what the hospital think anyway.
Ah, okay, I get it now. And when you were diagnosed with osteoporosis, you were only 18 years of age, around that time.
Yeah, around that time. That was around the time I had my first bone density scan, because obviously they wanted to check. Because obviously I'd had one course of steroid treatment and they wanted me to have this scan to check that I didn't have osteoporosis, and actually shown that I had osteopenia, which is the onset of osteoporosis.
You know, Tony, one of the things about doing this program is we've interviewed so many people who have had so many various ailments that I almost feel, Corey, like it's a medical degree. I mean, learning mm-hmm. about this, I mean, I have no idea that steroids created osteoporosis. Or you've talked about people with cancer and chemotherapy. Chemotherapy can actually cause cancer and give you what is termed chemo brain.
Yeah,
right?
Chemo brain and lymphedemia, peripheral neuropathy. Those are just some of the gifts.
So, Tony, when you were diagnosed with osteoporosis, were you breaking any bones at all, or was it just a diagnosis at the time?
Well, to be fair, ever since I was a child, I've been one for breaking bones. I didn't really notice that I was breaking any unusual without any stress or anything.
Just a kid playing around, but, right?
And then my first unusual break come probably about 5 years ago now, when I just noticed that I had pain in my foot, and I went to a hospital and they did an x-ray, but they couldn't see anything. So I went away thinking, well, everything's fine. And then the pain started to get worse, so I went back and I had another x-ray and they couldn't see anything again. And this went on a few times until they eventually did an MRI scan, and they found out that I had broke my third metatarsal, and I actually had a bit of bone that had broke off that was floating around in my ankle that they'd have to operate on to remove.
Wow, so how many times, just out of curiosity, how many bones have you broken?
Quite a few. I mean, since my left foot and my ankle that I've just told you about, I broke my right foot, one of the bones in my right foot that they actually missed, and they only seen it on an MRI scan again, but they only seen the bruising around it from the healing, so it had healed by the time they actually spotted it. I've broke a rib, I think, and I suspect I've broke other ones that haven't really caused me much of a problem, so I haven't gone to the hospital because there's not really much they can do.
Mm.
Or a lot of them, because they're only like small stress fractures, and a lot of them can heal on their own without any problems.
That must be tough, Tony, growing up as a kid. You've got Crohn's disease. You have to be aware of where every bathroom is. Well, we've had to talk to people, and they've indicated that they have to know where the bathroom is. And so I asked this fellow, what do you do if the bathroom's occupied? And he says, you learn to hold it. And he says sometimes you even break down the door because you have to go. And, I mean, it's very, very painful. Were you smoking cannabis at all during this period?
I first started smoking cannabis, first tried cannabis when I was 15 years old. I didn't really notice any difference with my stomach because I wasn't really smoking it that much, just on and off as a child trying it for the first time. Actually really liked the taste of it, to be fair. And then it was around about 16 when he left school and was in college, and I had other problems that I actually started smoking cannabis quite a lot, but actually started to realise it was like I was feeling better. The more I smoked, the better I felt.
So was there a link there, knowing that, hey, maybe this works for me, I should continue doing it?
Yeah, at the time I sort of realised it was helping. Obviously it helped me have an appetite and be able to eat more. And I noticed that my stomach didn't seem to be as bad when I was smoking as opposed to when I wasn't. So I just obviously from then decided that I liked cannabis, and I, no matter what anyone said, I was going to continue to use it.
Were you underweight as a teenager?
Yeah, I've probably always been underweight, to be fair. I'm currently probably around 7.5 stone.
Okay.
I've been 8 stone once in my life.
Yeah, that is very light. And because most people who have Crohn's disease are underweight. I mean, you don't see anyone who's heavy Crohn's disease. So you have Crohn's disease at 9. You're diagnosed with osteoporosis at 18, thanks to the steroids. And then you're dealt a third card. You have fibromyalgia around the age of 21. Tell us about that.
Well, I was working in a restaurant at a time, full time, and I started to notice one winter when it was cold that I had quite a bit of pain in my joints, but I just thought it was because it was cold. And then as it got warmer the next year, it seemed to get better. So I thought, well, it might just be because it was rather cold. Eventually, the next winter, the pain come back again, but it was a little bit worse this time. And then it took longer to go away. And then, eventually, the pain was there constantly.
Now, when did you, or did you, have you started taking cannabis oil at this time?
No, I didn't start taking cannabis oil till probably about 3 years ago now. I first got hold of some cannabis oil.
So prior to that period, then, you were just smoking it, or would you ingest it at all in any way?
I was smoking it, and I had tried baking with it a few times and eating it.
How did the edibles feel for you?
To be fair, I was quite young when I did them, and I wasn't doing it as a medical point of view. Like, obviously, I didn't know of all the medical claims about cannabis at that time, and I was mainly doing it with friends to obviously get high. But I did notice that obviously when I ate it, like, my stomach was calm after I ate it, and I didn't have any problems for a good few days, and I found I wasn't rushing to the toilet.
Yeah, I don't think you're any different than most people, Tony, when it comes to cannabis, because I think probably most people feel that it is used recreationally. But once people begin to understand the medical benefits of this plant, it takes on a whole different complexion. It is really looked upon more as medicine. Do you look upon it now as medicine as opposed to a recreational drug?
Yeah, I do, obviously. There's always going to be the argument that it can be abused, but it's the same with anything. Alcohol can be abused, prescription drugs can be abused. I mean, there's been stories of doctors, like, misprescribing people drugs, like, to get money. So, obviously, the doctors can abuse that system as well. It's not just, obviously, patients. So there's always going to be the argument there that it can be abused, and that's why it shouldn't be legal. But obviously, everything can be abused. So if that was the case, then should we make everything illegal?
Tony, take us back to the time 3 years ago, roughly 3 years ago, when you started taking cannabis oil.
Well, I was told by a friend that they knew of someone who could get hold of some for me. So I approached them, and they got me some, and the funny thing is, when I first got it, I did the first thing that I knew to test it, and that was put some on a piece of paper and smoke it, basically. So I rolled the joint with the cannabis oil, and it got me high, and I noticed it wasn't an effect. So straight away, I tried to ingest some and see what that was like, and it didn't take long for me to obviously notice the effect from it. So I started obviously looking at different ways of obviously taking it, and I found that if you mix it with coconut oil, then it's meant to have a better effect and you're meant to absorb it better. So I started obviously looking into it more straight away and trying to find out more information on it.
And how often were you taking it when you first started?
When I first started, I actually started taking it every day because I wanted to obviously build it up in my system. But as the time went on, I thought, it's like, really, I should treat it like any other medicine, and if I don't need it as much, try and withdraw from it a little bit so that I'm just taking it every now and then and I'm not taking it all the time.
And how did it deal with your symptoms for Crohn's disease?
To be fair, I don't really have many symptoms from my Crohn's disease anymore. I do, like, sometimes I will go to the toilet, like, 2 or 3 times a day, but sometimes, like, now a lot of the time I will only be going once. I don't tend to get a lot of pain from my Crohn's, but if I do get any pain that comes out of the blue, I just take some cannabis oil and it tends to go away, really. I mean, I've had situations where I've woke up in pain where I thought a normal person would phone an ambulance or go to the hospital, but I obviously reached for the cannabis oil, took some of that and waited for a while, and the pain's gone away.
So in a week, how much would you say you take of cannabis oil?
It depends, really. I've not been taking much at the minute because I'm running out of the stuff that I've got. And I'm finding it obviously quite difficult to afford it. So I've actually wrote a letter to my hospital asking them to prescribe me Sativex off licence.
It's tough to get cannabis oil in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very difficult. And obviously you've got to trust the people who you're getting it off. Really, the price can be quite expensive if you want to be taking all the time. I mean, I've heard cancer patients having to take like a gram a day, which really, when I think about that, I would never be able to afford to take a gram a day of it.
Well, it's expensive here, and it's a little bit more expensive in the States, but it's my understanding it's even more expensive there. What's a gram go for? A gram of oil?
I normally buy 5 grams at a time, and it costs me about £165. But I've known people charging a lot more. I mean, I get it from some people who are actually doing it for cancer patients and to help people who are ill, as opposed to just selling cannabis oil to make some money.
So you're getting... you're getting yours at a cheaper rate than the average person would.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and so that's $282 in Canadian money for 5 grams.
5 grams.
Which is really not a bad price.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sad. Yeah. Pretty sad statement, isn't it?
That's about 200 American.
Yes.
Yeah. 5 grams.
I mean,
$40
I'd like to make my own.
Are you able to grow?
I've currently got one plant going at the minute under an LED light. I'd like to grow more, but obviously it's risky. I'm in a rented property, so it's not my own property. Mm-hmm. And obviously I've now wrote a letter to my hospital, which is, I don't know whether they'll like it and what they'll do about it. So you never know if you're going to get that knock at the door, do you?
No, you don't, and it's a crazy system all over the world, Tony. what do you feel your health would be today if you were not taking cannabis at during the course of your life?
If I wasn't taking cannabis and I relied on the hospital's medication, I honestly believe I'd be dead. I mean, when I was 16, when I was withdrawn from the steroids, I lost my appetite completely. I dropped from 8 stone because I'd just come back off holiday and I had a lot because I was on the steroids, so they were making me hungry. And then I come back and I was 8 stone, and within about 4 to 8 weeks, I think it was, I had gone from 8 stone to 6 stone and had to have a tube put in to feed me. So I think if I had took everything the hospital wanted to give me, the side effects from it would have probably just finished me off.
I was just looking up because I don't really relate to stone very well. So for people who are like me, 8 stone is 112 pounds.
Yeah, there's 14 pounds to a stone.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Genius.
Yeah, no. I recall this because we interviewed someone earlier from the UK who... But, you know, when you're 6 stone, that's only 70 pounds. I mean, you were just a skeleton, Tony.
Yeah, I was.
And how tall are you?
I'm about 5'4", 5'5", I think.
But even at 5'5", that is that's very, very thin, 70 pounds. So you were on a feeding. I lost my train of thought.
I was on a feeding tube. Yeah,
feeding tube. Yeah,
yeah. That was inserted up my nose, and then it went down into my stomach, and I had that in for a good few months. And had to have a feed on overnight, every night.
How's cannabis oil work with your fibro? We have a lot of people that contact me with fibro.
It helps with the pain a lot, because obviously you get a lot of pain with that. The one thing I think I struggle with a lot is, I don't know if you've heard of the term, but it's called fibro fog. And obviously,
yes.
It affects your memory a lot. So I think I can manage the pain with what I'm taking at the minute with the cannabis oil and the supplements that I'm taking. But I do think I struggle with the fibro fog a lot.
Tony, what other things are you doing to keep yourself healthy?
I'm taking a lot of supplements, a lot of powders that I put into capsules myself that cover, basically, I think, I'm hoping that I've covered all of my vitamins and minerals that I could possibly need throughout the day so that I can take them, and then obviously I've got from them what I need for the day, and then whatever I eat after that is a bonus, and my body can obviously get what it needs, and I don't have to worry about if I feel like eating loads today or if I don't feel like eating much.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a fairly, in quotations, normal life now?
I'd say I'm getting there. I mean, I'm finding I'm doing better now that I'm having Reiki once a week. That's helping with, obviously, the fibro fog, I feel a lot. And it's brought my appetite back, which I haven't had for 15 years. So I'm actually enjoying food now and not just eating because I know I have to.
Are you gaining any weight?
I have, actually. I mean, I went to see the rheumatology doctor at the hospital, and then I went to see the IBD nurse, and during the couple of weeks that I went to them appointments, I put on a few pounds. I am actually putting on weight slowly.
Good for you.
I noticed, Tony, that when you sent us some information on your condition, you gave us an outline of the number of nutritional products you take.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you take pretty much everything that I take, and I think you're on the right track. You take the organic wheatgrass powder. You take a lot of green powders, which I think have a lot of minerals in them. And it's my belief, and I may be wrong in this, but the food that people eat today is nutritionally deficient.
Yeah, and, I believe that myself.
And I think what people need to do is supplement that. And one of the things that we face in Canada is that we have one of the highest multiple sclerosis rates in the world. And people wonder why. And I think if you look at Canada and some of the Nordic countries and even the UK, the problem is that during the winter months, there's very, very little sunshine. It's gray.
Yeah.
When the sun does come out, it's so low in the sky that it doesn't provide you enough vitamin D. And people need to take more vitamin D. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I live in Manchester, so it is quite... it's quite cloudy here all the time. So
it's kind of like Victoria in the winter.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same here, and it's dark. It's gray. It's rainy, and I think people feel that if I take one vitamin D capsule, I'll be fine. And one isn't going to do it. There was a study that I was reading about last year, which it says you need to take 9,000 units. International units a day in order to get your proper amount. Now,
my vitamin D supplement that I take is 5,000 international units, and I take one a day. The doctor at the hospital actually said that it seems like a large dose, but obviously I carried on taking it, and then within a few weeks, my vitamin D levels are gone from being very low to back within normal levels.
One of the things you got to be careful of is listening to doctors about nutrition, because and doctors are going to hate me for this, they know virtually nothing about nutrition.
I know. I've found that out.
Yeah, you found that out, exactly. I was listening to a doctor being interviewed, and she was saying that she took a half an hour of nutritional classes in university. A half an hour. But when it comes to pharmaceutical products, man, they will prescribe anything to you.
Yeah.
And the thing, Tony, is, as you know, nobody has ever died from taking too much vitamin D.
Yeah, and obviously I've noticed as well that if they say these things don't work, then why do they go after the companies and obviously try and ban the products so much? I mean, I've noticed just recently I had on Amazon, I had 5 different vitamin D3 tablets, all natural, and I had them saved to my wish list so that I had a choice of which ones I wanted to purchase, and they've all disappeared off Amazon like within the past week. And I can't find them on there anymore.
So they're not being sold?
No.
Find
and even the ones that I'm currently taking at the minute that I'm running out of aren't on sale anymore. I can order them from America, but it'll cost me an extra $25 to get them sent, which isn't much, but I've been looking at if there's anywhere in the UK where I can source them from.
Well, it all adds up, too, when you're ordering and buying all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Tony, do you have health food stores in the UK like we have here where you can go in and buy all sorts of vitamins and supplements?
Yeah, we do. We have quite a few. There's some, obviously, high street ones, and there's a local shop near me that sells all organic food, and it sell some of like the supplement powders.
Well, can you not buy your vitamin D there?
The local shop doesn't have any, and the other main shop where I could have a look is called Holland and Barrett, and I can find better prices online, and obviously what I think better quality, so I choose to obviously try and source it online.
Well, the good news is that you're 31 years of age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 31. You're getting better. Your health is improving. Your Crohn's, would you say your Crohn's is in remission?
I think it has been for a while. Obviously, the more I've started taking with my supplements and the cannabis oil, I think the more it has gone into remission, and I don't really noticed that it's there anymore. Obviously, compared to what I went through as a child, it's completely different since I started taking cannabis, and it's just got better since I started taking all my supplements.
Well, if you stick with the cannabis oil and your Crohn's will stay in remission, your osteoporosis is doing, you're a little bit better in that regard?
I feel I am. My vitamin D levels have gone back in normal level. I'm obviously waiting for my next bone density scan, and I'm hoping that shows an improvement on my bones. So I'm hoping really that eventually it will all heal itself.
Tony, it was great to talk to you. We wish you good health. I think you're on the right track. You're doing all the right things. Hopefully you'll live a long and healthy life. It was good, very good to meet you and talk to you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Thanks.
If you'd like to come on the radio and tell your story about the use of cannabis for medical purposes, send us an email at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.